the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
So, we're in our Advent Unwrapped series. This is the last one before we move into the new year. So, the last kind of post-Christmas one. And today, I'm just going to share sort of three thoughts about the story that we've heard this morning. The first is that Simeon and Anna were ready and waiting for what was to come. They were patiently waiting for the Messiah. Now, at Christmas, we do lots of waiting around. I don't know about you this Christmas, but I was certainly looking forward to opening my presents, waiting for those, waiting a long time for Christmas dinner. We had it at 2:30 this year, which is outrageous. And another thing that you wait a long time for at Christmas is these things, Advent calendars. You have to wait every day to open up the next door. Now, these are the three Advent calendars that we had in our house this year. All of them were Elijah's. First one, you've got the classic sort of nativity scene with the little doors, and you get a picture. Beautiful, you know, Christian nativity scene. Inside the doors, you've got raccoons driving motorbikes, military helicopters, a snail. Who made those pictures? I don't know, but it's crazy. The middle one was a nice little tree, and in each drawer there's a little decoration, so each day you add a decoration to the tree. It also plays a nice tune when you turn the key. And then finally we had this Advent calendar, which arrived for our door. I'm assuming it was from Belmont. Does anybody else get it? Okay, it must have been from Belmont then. And it was great, a little sticker each day to tell the Christmas story. Eli loved his Advent calendar. This is the first time he's sort of been aware of what's going on. But he did struggle with the idea that you can only open one thing a day. There were times when I found all the Christmas decorations piled up on the table because he had taken them all out. It was quite hard to put them back in. Times where he was like, no, I want to open another door. Can I do another one? I want another Advent calendar. And he had a bit of a cry because I wouldn't let him. And obviously I had to keep the stickers well away from him so he didn't take them all off and stick them on his top. So he found it really difficult to be patient and to wait for the next day. I don't think humans are built being patient. It's something we have to learn. I have to say, adults aren't that different. We've just signed up for a year of Amazon Prime. Now, why have we done that? Because we don't want to wait 3 days for a delivery. We want it to happen the next day. Also, you get, you know, TV shows where you don't have to wait every week to watch another TV show. You can binge all 7 series in a week. So all these things are kind of designed so that we have to wait less. We're not really patient anymore. I think patience has kind of become a lost art. The danger is, though, that when we're not patiently waiting, we end up missing out on the thing that God wants for us, the thing that we're waiting for, because we get distracted or we move on to something else. And that's the danger of lacking patience. Now, Simeon and Anna didn't get distracted. They understood the importance of the thing that they were waiting for so that they were ready when it came. Simeon heard the Holy Spirit telling him to go to the temple, and he went straight away because he was in tune with God. And Anna, she was already there because she was there day and night anyway, fasting and praying and reading the scriptures. So these two people were ready and waiting for what God had for them. Now, there's another bit in the New Testament that tells us about being patient, and that's here in 1 Peter. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So if somebody asks you why you have this hope, why you go to church, why you read the Bible, why you believe in Jesus, it says you need to be ready to give an answer to that. So I wonder if we are like Simeon and Anna and are ready to talk to people about Jesus and what he's done. So that's the first thing I want to say. The second thing is that Simeon and Anna not only were ready, but they recognized the gift that was given. They knew that this little baby wasn't just a little baby, but he was something different. He was something special. And they recognized what a wonderful gift he was. They recognized that he was the chosen one, the Messiah that God had sent to save them. He says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. And that means he's recognized that Jesus will not only save his people, the Jews, but he will save the whole world. And they've recognized who he is. Now, when we look at our nativity scene, sometimes I think we get a bit carried away with everything else. We get a bit focused on the shepherds and the wise men and the crowns and the Mary and Joseph and the stable and the innkeeper who keeps saying no and the sheep that are cute. All this kind of detracts a little bit from the main part of the story. Jesus kind of becomes a little background character. You can just about see him there, poking his little head out. But Jesus isn't supposed to be just another character in the Nativity story. He is the story. Jesus is the story. Jesus should be the one at the center because he is the one at the center of history. He's the most important character in everything. And Simeon and Anna recognized that he was this most important person. Finally, they also saw what was to come for Jesus. Now, when you have a baby, we've recently had a baby a few months ago, people say all sorts of things to you, but it generally follows the lines of congratulations, well done, how are you doing, how's the baby? Simeon doesn't go that way. He says something slightly different to this new mother. He says this: "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Congratulations. It's a very strange thing to tell a new mother. It's not the kind of thing Jenny would have liked to hear a few months ago when Lyra was born. So what is he talking about? What is he saying? Well, I think what he's talking about here is he's recognizing that Jesus isn't going to be the kind of Messiah that the Israelites were necessarily expecting. He's not going to be some king on a horse with a sword going into battle to save them. He's going to be a very different kind of savior. And what's going to happen to him is that he's going to be rejected by his own people, and eventually they're going to kill him on a cross. So he foresaw that because he's a prophet, and he was told by God what was going to happen. And the last bit is because Mary will have to watch what this happening, and it will break her heart, and it will feel like a sword piercing her own soul. So Simeon knew that Jesus wasn't just this amazing king come to save them, but he knew how he was going to save them as well, and it wasn't going to be very nice. It's the kind of contradiction of Christmas that we have the celebration of this baby being born, but also we know what's going to happen to him when he gets older. But of course, we know that it's not just a sad story of the cross, but it's all part of God's plan to save us. And actually, Jesus was raised from the dead and is alive today. And we can be raised with him as well if we believe in him. So we know that this is all part of God's plan. And when Simeon saw that tiny baby and held him in his arms, he also recognized that Jesus was part of God's plan to save us all. So what is the wonder of Christmas? Why is Jesus the gift of wonder? Well, he's not just a little baby. When Simeon was just looking at him and holding him in his arms, he wasn't just looking into the eyes of a baby. He was looking into the eyes of God, because that baby was God with us, Emmanuel. And that is what makes him such a wonderful gift. So as we move on from Christmas now into the new year, we're going to forget about the presents that we got. Some of you might have already forgotten about them. We're going to forget the dinner and the Brussels sprouts and the pigs in blankets for another year. We're going to forget about our lovely advent calendars. But what we mustn't forget is that at the heart of it is this little baby who is God with us, and he came to save us from our sins.